Hello, and welcome back to the MRX Lab podcast, where we talk research and insights trends in 10 minutes or less. Today, I'm joined by Sally Nichols, Insight Manager, and Gareth Bolden, Research Project Manager at FLETSMR. Welcome both of you to the show.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
Hi, thanks for having us, Chris. Looking forward to it.
Thank you both. The topic we're going to be discussing today is cutting the red tape, or how insight professionals can make research happen. So to get us started, Gareth, what are some of the causes of red tape in the commissioning process that can slow research down?
So there's a number, and it depends what kind of institution you're dealing with. So coming from an academic background myself originally, one of the biggest kind of forms and causes of red tape is usually ethics, particularly with consideration of the participant's well-being. And I think that even if that's not a consideration for red tape, it's something that we need to prioritize when we are conducting research. Apart from that, a more general one is cost and aligning team and department goals. If you are looking, for example, to get a research project started which is representative not just of your own team's aspirations and goals, but also to capture kind of output and goals from other areas of your institution, they're going to want to have input on it. As soon as they start having input on it, you start looking at which budget is coming out from, the added cost on top of your original estimate. A good way of dealing with that, as I think is going to be a central narrative of a lot of my points here, is making sure you've got that centralized alignment on everything before you start actually going towards the commissioning process. The worst thing you can do is try and launch into a particular project or research direction without making sure you've got all of the different participants and stakeholders on board with exactly what the deliverable goal is going to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's something that seems common across a lot of aspects of research, making sure everybody's in alignment first. And you also raise a good point on the amount of people that are involved, and the more sprawling a project, the more departments that are involved, the more complex it can be. Sally, did you have any thoughts on red tape, or from your experience, what can slow research down at the outset?
Yeah, I suppose there's lots of different reasons we find from more of a sort of a commercial research experience, but they do touch on the points that Gareth just brought up. These can sometimes be out of clients' control. Sometimes when, you know, like you just said, where research involves other departments besides an insight team, especially departments with their own processes or sort of lots of moving parts themselves, like product teams, marketing, even procurement, other stakeholders in the business, for example, things can get held up. Similarly, when budget for a project needs to be approved and coming from another department or another gatekeeper in the business, you know, that's not always a quick process either. Focusing more on clients, I'd say that things happen, priorities change, and they have to react to those situations. So, I mean, as a huge example, take a look at last year. A lot of projects that were due to start got put on ice for obvious reasons. So, but away from that, things happen to specific businesses, specific sectors that just come out of nowhere or quite, you know, unavoidable, which is something we have to be quite mindful of. And obviously our clients are busy people too. So, trying to logistically sort of factor in interactions with each other is only a fraction of their job in a lot of cases, and calendars and things don't always match up. So there's the sort of admin sort of communication side of things too.
I think that's something a lot of our listeners will probably be able to resonate with, that perhaps it's not the research itself that is time consuming, but just aligning those diaries and, you know, getting those meetings in order. So what are some of the things that researchers, client side, agency side, can do to get researching, to get projects into the field faster.
One thing I'd say on that is, if your particular research project is part of a wider and agreed upon kind of guided research schedule, it's easier to get stuff over the line sometimes. So rather than going, X has come up, we need to do research on X, which obviously has its place and will happen. If you yourself or working with someone who is able to put together a reasonable schedule of research timed to make sure you're moving towards different deliverables throughout the year, then you can cut through some of that red tape, some of the faff, because everyone is then aligned to the same program, the same schedule. It's easier to have meetings, for example, on something that people are already aware of, rather than suddenly it popping up and going, hi, research.
I think added to that, from sort of client side as well, there's things that client side researchers can do to help along the way. So if we know that we've got research planned, and just things like, you know, planning stimulus for projects as early as possible in the design just helps things keep on track, and then that's really helpful. Sounds like quite an obvious thing, but sometimes that can come quite late in the process, and then you find that sort of stalls the timeline.
So definitely a case of being prepared, having those project management skills, and, you know, knowing what you're doing at the outset, and having the materials kind of ready to go as soon as possible, really.
Yeah, 100%. And also having a network of experts who you're able to access for different things. So I mean, the researcher on the client side and on the agency side are going to want to have overarching control over a project, but without being able to tap into your network and go, right, so we've got a real expert panel recruiter we can rely on here. We've got someone who we can really rely on to supply a platform or a service here. You don't want to be scraping around for that at the last minute. So tapping into an established network, something that can really smooth the process over.
Definitely. That's a really good point. It's something I think we can often overlook as researchers, either because we're kind of blinded internally by getting all the process and what we need to do up and running, or just by virtue of that network is sometimes hard to build, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about there about timeline and how that's quite a process-driven thing, but also client side to agency side, we've developed close relationships, of course, with our clients, and those relationships work well when there's compromise. So actually, sometimes we can agree to be more flexible to get things done quickly, on the proviso that they are committed to working quickly as well. So we can say, you know, for example, yes, we can draft this, you know, survey plan, whatever it may be, and get it programmed and into field, meeting this tight deadline that's been put on you. But we need you to work with us to get it to a signed off state as well, to get everyone sort of singing from the same hymn sheet, and showing our commitment to them as they are to us. I think that's quite important.
Yeah, definitely. And so much of that is down to the level of communication that you have between the various different kind of actors and stakeholders in the system. Staying in as much as possible regular communication, sometimes even putting in discussions when there isn't necessarily something massive to talk about, but just to check in on how the process is going, can just make sure that you're able to plan, but also to be flexible and iterative with things as well. And as Sally's saying, just react to things quickly on the basis that because you've got to know each other a little bit, you know you're singing from the same hymn sheet, you know that you can trust the competency and delivery of the person you're working with.
Yeah, I think some of the sort of the points that have come up just now are a bit more suggestive of how to keep things moving rather than how to speed things up. Mm. As, you know, there's only so much you can do really to make things happen faster. But I think compromise is the thing that works particularly well. So, you know, if a client needed something reporting a week earlier than agreed or was, you know, perhaps realistic, for example, for a really important meeting that's just been put in their calendar at the last minute, we can offer something that isn't the whole report, but gets them to that interim information that they need a bit faster. So it's rarely ever, and no, we can't do this as fast as you want it. There's a bit of give and take there.
I think that comes back to your point earlier on compromise and, you know, finding middle ground solutions and working to flexible ideas rather than just a rigid plan. Having that plan at the outset, but adapting, changing, being iterative when things come up. I am conscious we're about to hit the 10-minute mark, so before we do start to wrap things up, Sally, Gareth, is there one key important takeaway you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I'd go with have a plan, communicate it effectively, and be prepared for things to go wrong, but know that you're able to fall back on people that you trust to help out if it does.
I think my point would be about compromising those close relationships. So there are ways to push on quickly in a project and show that you're as committed to your client to getting a project off the ground as they are with those bits of give and take.
Both very good points. I'm sure our listeners will have got lots of value out of today's episode, but that does just about bring us to the end of our time and the end of today's episode. So thank you, Sally and Gareth, for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And thank you to you listening for tuning in. We'll be back in a few weeks with our next episode, looking at the best approaches to research design and what today's practitioners rely on most. Until next time, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.